And opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
He always sings reggae music to the cattle as he swings, back and forward in the saddle on a horse. Daddy syncopated Katie did it such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater, how they run. When they hear the fellas gone and the western folks all know, he's a highfalutin, rootin', tootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy Joe.
Well, good morning. This is Joe Nava on Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner every Thursday at 11 o'clock here at KFAR. And I'm delighted to be with you on such a beautiful winter day. We are in the middle of the winter. And it's been a very warm one so far, although I hear predictions of colder weather coming. But it's very nice out there today, a little overcast. I didn't see the sun coming up yet, but maybe it will. It was a little snowy yesterday. It was pretty bad driving, but today is very nice. It's a nice winter day. And I assume we have all gotten over our Christmas and New Year vacations. I know everybody's back to work now at the university and other places. Did you get what you wanted for Christmas? Did you get a gun for Christmas? Did you buy a gun for Christmas? Did you give a gun for Christmas? I'd be interested to know whether you did or not. And if you did get a gun for Christmas, what did you get? But let's think about that. If you got a gun for Christmas, you need to learn how to use it properly. And if you don't already, you need to take a class and learn how to use it safely, accurately, and responsibly. And there are lots of classes going on in this town, as I've told you before. And if anybody is teaching a class, all they have to do is call me at home, 479-2340, and I will take your information and I will mention it on this program. If you want to call this program and talk about a class that you're teaching, the number is 458-TALK. That's 458-8255. You can call and be a part of this program today. Now, if you got a gun that you're new with, in order to learn to use it, you not only have to take a class, but you have to learn to dry fire the gun. Dry firing is the way to learn to shoot accurately. Dry firing is shooting the gun without any ammunition in the gun. So the first thing you want to do is be sure the gun is empty, and then pick out a target in a safe area and shoot the gun at the target without ammunition. It will just go click. It won't go bang. And the guns that are made today are designed so that you can't hurt them by dry firing them. If you have an old gun, more than 50 years old, or a gun whose manual says not to dry fire it, then you can buy snap caps. Go over to Frontier Outfitters and tell them you want snap caps of a certain caliber. Put the snap caps in your gun, and the gun will think it has a live cartridge, and you can't do any damage to any gun with snap caps in the gun. So I would recommend lots of dry firing, and when you do dry fire your gun, be sure to wipe it off before you put it away. You get fingerprints on the gun. We have acid in our hands, and so you want to wipe it off with a very lightly oiled rag or a silicone cloth. Silicone cloth is very good. It doesn't leave a residue on the outside of the gun, but it does protect the finish of the gun against any damage at all from fingerprints or anything. So be sure and wipe the gun clean. And if you shoot it, of course, the important thing is to clean the inside of the barrel, the bore. That's where some dirty stuff is left after you shoot the gun, and you need to clean that out of there with a good solvent like Hoppe's Number 9. That's been around for over 100 years, and it's a very good solvent. And so clean out the bore of your gun. That's the important part. and make sure no dirt builds up around the action, the face of the bolt, or the breech of the barrel. Make sure it all stays perfectly clean. So learn how to clean your gun. That's one of the things you would learn in a gun class if you go and take a gun class. And I would recommend that. This is 2019, and there will be lots of gun classes. I won't be teaching. Remember, I retired in 2018, so I don't teach classes anymore. I taught for 56 years, and I've done my service to Alaskans by teaching them how to be safe, accurate, and responsible with their firearms. So I won't be teaching anymore. I'll be spending my time shooting and dry firing and lots of other spare time activities now. So that's your Christmas, your new gun that you got for Christmas. I hope you did, and I hope you treat it safely and take good care of it. The other thing we talked about earlier was air rifles. Because we looked up the rules, and the Fish and Game Department says you can't use an air rifle to hunt a big game animal in Alaska. And I don't understand that. I don't see why not. The big game rifles that are made today, air rifles, are made for shooting big game. And they're made very powerful. They're made very high caliber. There's a company in Arizona called Air Force, and they make air guns. They make high-powered air guns, guns that shoot anything from 357 caliber up to 45 caliber, and they shoot fairly heavy bullets as well. And you can get plenty of killing power with an air rifle. Guns and Ammo had a nice article on air guns, particularly the air guns made by the Air Force in Arizona. And I thank Ron for bringing that article and that magazine to me. But it's good if anyone wants to read about air guns and understand what they are and how powerful they are, they should get a copy of that recent Guns and Ammo where there is an article, or look it up on the web, look up articles on high-powered air guns. There are plenty of them made in this country and overseas. I think it'd be a good idea if all the members of the game board, the Alaska Game Board, would read that article about high-powered rifles. Then they might realize that it is a viable way to hunt big game in Alaska with air guns. High-powered air guns, and they're just as much power as any muzzle loader or other gun as well. And so I'm a fan of air guns for hunting. The smaller air guns are good for small game hunting, and these are now made to hunt big game, and they should be allowed. I think the rules should change. I think somebody should petition the game board to allow air guns for hunting big game in Alaska. There's no reason why not. I think the game board should be telling the hunter where they can hunt, how many animals they can kill, and what the seasons are for taking them, and let the hunters decide what gun to use for taking down the animals, and they will select the right one. And it isn't necessary to limit the hunter and take away the opportunity to use guns that are adequate. They are safe. They are on the market now. They are a little bit expensive. You'll probably pay at least $1,500 for a high-powered air gun, and it can go up from there. But most of your guns today are well over $1,000. It's hard to find good guns today for less than $1,000. So think about the air gun if you want to hunt big game or small game. And if you know anybody on the game board of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, then urge them to think about allowing the hunter to use air rifles to take big game. That's a topic that came up. And while I'm mentioning Ron, who brought that article to me, I also want to thank Ron for making a sizable donation to the Joe Nava Shooting Scholarship Fund, which funds the scholarships for the rifle team at the University of Alaska. Thank you, Ron. You will be getting a receipt and a thank you letter in the mail from the University of Alaska Foundation. And I thank you personally for doing that. The young shooters at the university will be thanking you long after you and I are dead and gone. Thank you, Ron. Well, I see it's a quarter hour and it's time to go to our first break. So I'm going to be back in a few minutes to take your phone calls at 458-8255. Anything you want to ask or comment on, just give us a call this first Shooter's Corner of 2019.
You've got it on Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner.
Now that we're once again in the great frozen north, it's time to stay warm and be prepared for the elements. Being prepared was ingrained in me at a very early age, and Auto Trim Design can help you be prepared too. With auto starts to warm your car, heated seats to warm your buns, moose lights to show you the way, mud flaps and floor mats to protect your rig, running boards to make getting in and out of your truck less tedious, and much, much more. Get prepared today at Auto Trim Design. And as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Avoid unwanted adventures on the road. Before you leave home, wheel bearings to wiring and lights, make sure your trailer is safe with service from Arctic RV. And that goes for your motorhome and camper too. Bodywork to appliances, Arctic RV. So when the mood hits you, whenever that is, your toys are as ready to roll as you are. Book your appointment now. Be ready then. Alaska plays rough, rough it in style. Arctic RV, 30th and Fager, Fairbanks.
When you know the person who works on your car or truck, that's worth something. It gives a level of confidence that's hard to come by. That's Rogers Auto Repair. Family-owned and operated, Rogers is your complete automotive repair shop. Tune-ups, winterizing, even engine and transmission rebuilds are all done right in their shop on Dale Road near the airport. So call the folks with experience and a sound reputation. Call Rogers Auto Repair. You'll be their next satisfied customer. Call 479-6665. Rogers Auto Repair.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway, your premier Honda snow thrower and generator dealership. Visit thewoodway.com. Be prepared the Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
We are KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, the heartbeat of Alaska.
Well, we're back. It's Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner. We're ready for the second segment today. And ready to take your phone calls at 458-TALK. That's 458-8255. If you have any questions or comments, just give us a call. The next thing I think we need to talk about today is bump stocks. Bump stocks have been in the news ever since some fellow used a bump stock to shoot a bunch of people. He was a crazy mass killer. And it's about a year ago, this fellow used a series of bump stock enhanced rifles to kill 59 people and wound more than 400 others. It was at a country music festival in Las Vegas. And so now, after a long time of thinking it over, the current administration, that is the Trump administration, is recommending that the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Division ban private ownership of bump stocks. Now, there are lots of people out there who own bump stocks, and they bought them legally, and they possess them legally, because the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms said they are legal, you can buy them, and you can possess them. And that's the way it has gone. Now, they have changed their mind and they have said, no, they're no longer legal. We're going to take them away from you. You have two choices. You may destroy your bump stock or you may turn it into the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Department. one or the other, but you can't keep it after a certain date that we're going to set. Well, it doesn't make any sense to me, because what a bump stock does is it turns a semi-automatic rifle into a fully automatic rifle, so that when you pull the trigger on a rifle with a bump stock, the gun continues to fire by itself. As long as you don't forcefully take your finger out of the trigger guard, it's going to continue firing, because the stock itself takes the recoil of the cartridge and then pushes back against it, and it pushes the rifle against your trigger finger, so the gun fires again. So the gun continually recoils and rebounds and fires again as long as you leave your finger inside the trigger guard. Now, why would anyone want one of those? Well, what it does is it turns the semi-automatic rifle into a fully automatic rifle. And people have a use for a fully automatic rifle in combat, in war, when they want to lay down a lot of firepower. They want to shoot a lot of mostly unaimed shots, because if you want to be accurate, you have to aim the gun each time before you pull the trigger. And so that's what a semi-automatic rifle does. You aim it, you pull the trigger, and then it's ready to aim and pull the trigger again. But it won't fire until you aim it and then pull the trigger. What this bump stock does is just keep firing the gun, but you don't have any time to aim your shots. They just go off in the general direction the gun is pointing. And there's no time in between the recoil of each shot to aim the gun. It's very inaccurate. And I'm not sure there's any advantage to it at all. I have never considered buying one. I don't see the use for it. Give me a semi-automatic or even a bolt action, a lever action, a slide action. I don't mind running the action while the gun is recoiling. I've done all my big game hunting in my life with lever action rifles until I started in my older years. I started shooting handguns at big game, but most of my big game hunting has been done with lever action rifles. And I put a round in the chamber when I'm ready to take a shot, and I take the shot. And then I put another round in the chamber and decide whether I need to shoot another shot or not. I don't want the gun to go off again unless I aim it and pull the trigger. But let's talk about the fully automatic rifles. Now, this article, unfortunately, you can never be sure of what you read in the news. This article says the rule changes previous regulatory language to categorize any semi-automatic firearm enhanced by a bump stock. It is now a machine gun. And this article goes on to say, machine guns are outlawed from civilian use under the National Firearms Act of 1934 and the Gun Control Act of 1968. Now, I'm here to tell you that's not true. You can word it any way you want to, but you can own a fully automatic firearm, a machine gun. Call it a machine gun if you want. You can own one if you want to legally, and you have been able to do that since 1934. And suppressors come in the same category. You can also own a suppressor. That is a piece of equipment that makes your rifle much more quiet and won't disturb your neighbors. But in order to buy a fully automatic firearm called a machine gun or a suppressor for any gun, then you have to apply at a dealer who deals in fully automatic firearms and suppressors. And he has the paperwork that you have to fill out. And there's lots of paperwork, paperwork on the gun and paperwork on yourself. And then you have to submit that paperwork to the FBI. and the FBI has to go through a complete background check on you in great detail, and it usually takes months to have that done. At the same time, you have to pay an extra fee of $200 to the federal government Department of the Treasury. That's to buy a special stamp which allows you to buy a fully automatic firearm or a suppressor. That $200 is every time the gun changes hands, the person buying it has to pay that $200 over again. And I often wonder why they didn't just say, okay, now with a bump stock on a semi-automatic firearm, it becomes a fully automatic firearm, and let's just use the same rules we do for fully automatic firearms. I wonder about that. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Good morning. You're talking about the restriction on air-powered rifle for hunting big game. I don't know if you're familiar with the rule now, which I guess came in last year, that you can't just go out and buy a crossbow and go hunting with it. You've got to pass a education, a test, and an examination, I guess, a shooting examination on your ability with a crossbow in order to legally hunt with it in the state of Alaska. Maybe you could comment on that. And then a second item is, as I understand it, the United States Army, with its standard rifle there, it had at one point, I'm not sure if it's still the case, you could select it so it would fire a 3-round burst, which I guess would overcome some of the sighting difficulties. Presumably they had analyzed it and figured they'd have a higher probability of hitting the target with a 3-round burst. Maybe you could discuss the 3-round burst as opposed to single shot and fully automatic. I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Okay, well, that's two topics, and I'll do the best I can to cover both of them. Yes, the Fish and Game has decided that if you're going to go out there and hunt with a crossbow, it's their responsibility to see that you are capable with your crossbow. And so they have mandated a hunter safety course in crossbow. They already have a hunter safety course for firearms, and they have another hunter safety course for muzzle loading, and they have another hunter safety course for bow hunting, and now they've added another hunter safety course for crossbow hunting. So you can't just decide to learn how to use one and use it. You have to take a class from Fish and Game and let them determine that you are capable of using it to hunt with, and then they'll give you a certificate, and you can then hunt in a crossbow hunt. That's one of the things the Fish and Game Department does with their hunter education program. I'm not sure I like it, but that's what they do. But as far as the select fire, now that's important, because when you're in a war zone, you're a military person in a war zone, sometimes you need a lot of firepower. Sometimes you can't fully see the enemy. Maybe it's in the jungle and there are people out there and you need to keep them away from you. And so maybe you need to put your gun on fully automatic and let go with a 20 or 30 round magazine and let them all go off in that general direction where the bad guys are assumed to be. But it's a waste of ammunition most of the time because it's not aimed. So they do have a selector on some of those rifles that will allow you to pull the trigger and you will get a 3-shot burst. And they will all be fairly accurate. At least the first one will be fairly accurate. And then after the 3-shot burst, you can aim the gun again and pull the trigger and get another 3-shot burst. You can also put that same rifle on single fire, so that every time you pull the trigger, you will get one round coming out the end of the barrel, and you can aim it and pull the trigger and get another round. And so depending on what you want to do with your firearm, you may select fully automatic or 3-shot bursts or semi-automatic 1-shot at every trigger pull. It's something that's useful for the military. I see no advantage. No advantage of that for the civilian population. But, of course, you would have to have a machine gun permit to buy it, whether it had a three-shot burst in there or not. So there is a way to do it, and even though this article says that machine guns are banned, they're not banned. You can buy them, and I don't understand why they want to ban bump stocks. They ought to just put the bump stocks under the same rules that the machine guns are and let the ATF handle it that way. That's my feeling. If you have something different to say about it, give us a call at 458-8255. I've got to go to a break now.
We are the heartbeat of Alaska. We are KFAR Radio.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. The 116th Congress has convened with Republicans maintaining hold of the Senate and Democrats in control of the House. Nancy Pelosi, a short time ago, elected Speaker of the House.
The Honorable Nancy Pelosi of the state of California, having received a majority of the votes cast, is duly elected Speaker of the House of Representatives for the 116th Congress.
Pelosi has said she will introduce bills today designed to fund federal agencies and end the ongoing partial government shutdown.
The appropriations bills would mirror proposals previously accepted by the Senate, but without border wall funding, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says it's a total non-starter.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the Capitol. Treacherous driving conditions in Oklahoma and Texas now blamed on at least four deaths. A winter storm warning in effect for the region through tomorrow morning. This is Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Alaska Department of Revenue has shut down online applications for Alaska Permanent Fund dividends because of security concerns. The department, in an announcement Tuesday, said some applicants had inadvertently seen personal information belonging to other applicants who'd filed previously. Revenue Commissioner Bruce Tangeman says the online application process will begin again when security issues are solved. A man suspected of stabbing a member of his household in a southwest Alaska village has been charged with felony assault. Alaska State Troopers say 23-year-old John Thompson was arrested Monday morning. Troopers did not release the name, age, or gender of the victim. The person was medically evacuated from St. Mary's for treatment. Anchorage police have released the name of the pedestrian killed in a crash on the city's south side. Police say 38-year-old Casey Turner of Anchorage died Monday. Patrol officers just after 5:30 p.m. took a call that a pedestrian had been struck on the service road parallel to the Seward Highway between O'Malley Road and Diamond Boulevard. Officers determined that a northbound pickup struck Turner as he walked on the road shoulder.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Now that we're once again in the great frozen north, it's time to stay warm and be prepared for the elements. Being prepared was ingrained in me at a very early age, and Auto Trim Design can help you be prepared too. With auto starts to warm your car, heated seats to warm your buns, moose lights to show you the way, mud flaps and floor mats to protect your rig, running boards to make getting in and out of your truck less tedious, and much, much more. Get prepared today at Auto Trim Design. And as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Ice fishing is a heck of a lot of fun for the whole family, but you have to be prepared. And the place you get prepared is Frontier Outfitters, where you'll find the rods, reels, and tackle you need. You'll also find a variety of augers, snowshoes, winter boots, and clothing, and your license as well. If you need snow machine and ATV accessories, they're right downstairs at Century Hardware. Your next outdoor adventure begins with Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle. Frontier Outfitters in the Govora Mall.
KFAR, the heartbeat of Alaska, now in full stereo at 97.5 FM, and of course, still at 6:60 AM.
Well, we're back, and we're finishing up a discussion on the bump stocks that have been legal in the past, and now all of a sudden the ATF is declaring them illegal, and they're saying that you have to destroy yours or turn it into the ATF, and you will receive no remuneration for it whatsoever. The ATF will take it from you and say thank you, and that's it. And I can't believe that that's the right way to go about this, because if I bought a bump stock and paid money for it and I owned it when it was legal, and now they've declared it illegal, and they want me to just give it back to them and lose my money. That's not right. If they want to take my bump stock away from me, they should pay me for whatever I paid for the bump stock. They shouldn't make me the loser just because they made a different decision. I think they should manage the bump stock rifles exactly the same way they do fully automatic rifles and let you go through the process and own them if you want to. There's no reason to make them illegal. They're no more dangerous than a fully automatic rifle, and you are now legal to own a fully automatic rifle. Once you go through the process and pay the fee, you can own a fully automatic rifle in this country today. And so that's it on bump stocks. I would never consider buying one. I don't see the advantage of it myself. It's just a way to shoot a lot of ammunition in a sort of unaimed fashion, just shooting in the general direction. I don't think it would be very valuable. Well, as far as that goes, the fully automatic rifle isn't very valuable either unless you're in a war zone or a situation with a lot of enemy people. Then you might need to throw a lot of firepower out there. But you might want to be a gun collector, and you just might want to collect fully automatic firearms, and that's legal as well. You don't have to buy it to shoot. You can buy it to collect. Which reminds me, there is going to be a gun collector's show on the 12th of January. That's not far off. Today must be about the 3rd of January. So the 12th would be a week from Saturday, and it's at the Tenino Valley Sportsmen's Association from 10 until 5. And we'll be showing gun collections only. It's a gun collector's show. Guns will not be for sale, and you will not be able to show your guns unless you are a gun collector. And the people coming in to look at these gun collections will have to pay $3 to get in the door, and then you'll be able to wander around and look at whatever guns there are for show, and you can ask any questions about them that you want. So that's, as far as I know, the first gun collector's show in Fairbanks. And it's put on by, this first one is put on by Curtis Stables, and he's hoping that it will be an annual event in the future. But if you want to, go on out to the Tenino Valley Sportsmen's Association a week from Saturday, that's the 12th of January, between 10 and 5 in the evening, at 10 in the morning and 5 in the evening, and you can see gun collections. Okay, but some people do have a lot of different guns for collecting. Someone might have a fully automatic firearm there. They have a collection of fully automatic firearms. You might see those. I once displayed a rifle at a gun show in Anchorage. I just took one rifle, and I took it down, and I displayed it. It wasn't for sale. I wasn't selling guns. I just wanted to display this gun and let people take a look at it and see it and see what it was. And this gun was the president's rifle. The president was Ronald Reagan. And I was on the board of directors of the National Rifle Association at that time. And Ronald Reagan was one of our speakers at one of our annual meetings. And to thank him for being a speaker, the NRA gave him a handmade muzzle-loading rifle, a really beautiful work of art. It was a beautiful gun. And they do this for the speakers at each of the annual meetings. They've given away a lot of really beautiful handmade muzzle-loading guns. So I contacted the NRA, and they sent the rifle. They took it out of the museum where it was, and they sent it to me, and I took it to Anchorage, and I set it up on the table, and I actually won a prize. I forgot the name of the prize. It was only a $250 award for that prize, but I did win a prize for the way I presented this rifle as an educational show. And I took the $250 and I donated it to the Shooting Scholarship Fund at the university in the name of the Alaska Arms Collectors Association. But anyway, that's a case of where I became a gun collector for a while. And then after showing the gun in several other places around the interior here, I put it back in the box and I shipped it back to the museum in Fairfax, Virginia, where it still is today. Beautiful rifle. You can go there at the NRA headquarters and see that rifle. It's a beautiful piece of art. Those people who handmade those muzzle-loading rifles were really artists and really well worth seeing. Well, let's see. Okay, I guess we've said enough about bump stocks. I've never even shot a bump stock. I never even thought of buying a bump stock, and I won't. But unfortunately, here in Fairbanks, you're going to have to turn yours in before March. There's a date in March 26th. If you still possess a bump stock for a semi-automatic rifle after March 26th, you will be illegal and the ATF can arrest you and punish you for that. So how do you get rid of it? You can destroy it. That means physically destroy it, crush it, destroy it completely, run your bulldozer over it, whatever you want to do. Or you can turn it into the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. The only problem with that is there is no alcohol, tobacco, and firearms office in Fairbanks. The nearest one is in Anchorage, and that's 360 miles away. And between now and March 26th, that's going to be over some pretty icy and snowy roads. And so there's your dilemma. And all they can suggest is you might want to call the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Office in Anchorage and ask them how to solve this problem if you don't want to drive to Anchorage and hand your bump stock over to the ATF. I think it's a terrible thing for them to do, to demand that you give them your bump stock without remuneration because it's now illegal. I don't believe they should do that. But that's what this article says they have decided to do. And I hope they change their minds and do something different. I would like to think we're working with a friendly federal government with respect to firearms. Okay, that's enough for bump stocks. And if you did get a gun for Christmas or you have a gun you've had for a while and you want to shoot it some more, they are starting a league at the Fish and Game Range on College Road. The new AIMCOM League is starting on Friday, January 4th. That's tomorrow. The organizational meeting will be at the Fish and Game Range at 7 o'clock in the evening. Now, this is for both centerfire and rimfire. You can shoot either one or you can shoot both. The centerfire league shoots every Wednesday evening, and the rimfire shoots every Friday evening. And after the organizational meeting, they will set up the dates, and they will shoot for 7 weeks in a row, and they will keep track of everybody's score. It's a handgun match, and it's a one-handed handgun match, and you will be shooting at 50 feet. You will be shooting at a black bullseye target, and you will be shooting some slow fire, some timed fire, and some rapid fire. And it will be a help to you if you do some practice. If you're interested in signing up for it, you can go on to the website. That's AIMCOM, AIMCOMM.org. You can read all about the league shooting there, and you can sign up there if you want to. Or if you want to just show up at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening at the Fish and Game Range, you can then find out all about it and decide if you want to shoot in it. It's a fun thing to do. You'll be shooting with a lot of other people just like yourself. They all enjoy shooting, and they are there with their guns because They enjoy shooting. They enjoy competing. And this league goes on usually twice a year, has been going on for several years, and is very popular and very enjoyable. It's a lot of fun. And a lot of people put in some effort to volunteer to help with this, whether it's putting the targets into the computer or scoring the targets or whatever. Or Paul Mackey is the director of the leagues, and he puts an awful lot of time and energy into the leagues. So if you're interested in getting into some shooting, burning up some of that ammunition, you don't want to die and leave it for somebody else to shoot. You want to shoot it up while you're here. So think about going over to the Fish and Game Range on College Road tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock and scope out the leagues and see if you're interested in shooting with the leagues. Well, we're three quarters of the way through the program, the first program of 2019, and I've got to go to one more break, and I'll be back to take your phone calls, 458-8255, right after this break.
Keep it here for more Shooter's Corner after this.
Now that we're once again in the great frozen north, it's time to stay warm and be prepared for the elements. Being prepared was ingrained in me at a very early age, and Auto Trim Design can help you be prepared too. With auto starts to warm your car, heated seats to warm your buns, moose lights to show you the way, mud flaps and floor mats to protect your rig, running boards to make getting in and out of your truck less tedious, and much, much more. Get prepared today at Auto Trim Design. And as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Avoid unwanted adventures on the road. Before you leave home, wheel bearings to wiring and lights, make sure your trailer is safe with service from Arctic RV. And that goes for your motorhome and camper too. Bodywork to appliances, Arctic RV. So when the mood hits you, whenever that is, your toys are as ready to roll as you are. Book your appointment now. Be ready then. Alaska plays rough, rough it in style. Arctic RV, 30th and Pegger, Fairbanks.
Get ready for winter with your Snowway snowplow. Stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Snowway's wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer near the airport on Dale Road, or call 479-6665.
Today's weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Nearly 50 years providing complete medical and surgical eye care and prescription vision care. The Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Look for decreasing clouds today with our temperatures falling to near 5 below by 5 p.m. Tonight, partly cloudy with our lows down to 20 below. Tomorrow for Friday, clear with high temperatures only reaching 17 below. As we look into the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, mostly clear with our high temperatures right around 15 below and those lows dropping down to near 30 below. This has been a look at your latest Fairbanks area weather forecast.
KFAR, the heartbeat of Alaska. Now in full stereo at 97.5 FM and, of course, still at 660 AM.
Well, I just listened to that weather forecast, and I don't think I like that. They said it may drop down near to 30 below. I don't think I like that. I'd like it to stay above minus 20, but then I'm living in interior Alaska. I have to take whatever weather the weatherman throws at us, and I will put up with it. I always have. And I remember this time of year back in 1962, right here in Fairbanks. It was just ending a serious cold spell where the temperature went to minus 62 for 3 days. And I remember that, and I hope it doesn't go down there again. Everybody had difficulties with the temperature then. But here we are. The next item that I'd like to tell you about is a hunting ban. Now, this hunting ban has been requested by a mining outfit on Admiralty Island. And so this mining company, it's the Hecla Greens Creek Mining Company. Hecla Greens Creek Mining Company. They've asked the Board of Game to close a road system and associated infrastructure to hunting near its mine facility on Admiralty Island. Greens Creek Mine spokesman says miners have reported hunters firing near the operation, creating dangerous situations. That's all it says, no more detail than that. They also say that the hunters sometimes leave carcasses, those would be gut piles, hunters leave behind. They can also attract bears to the work areas. Well, that's possible too. If you're in bear country, all of Admiralty Island is bear country. You'd better be prepared to cope with a bear, whether there's a carcass around or not. So the State Department of Fish and Game says they will consider the mine's proposal at its meeting in Petersburg in January. I don't know when that meeting is, but I'm not sure how many people can get to Petersburg. But if you have an interest in that, you might want to write to the game board and tell them what you think about a mine just deciding they want Fish and Game to close their area to hunting just to keep the hunters out. If we keep closing one area after another, pretty soon there won't be much area left to hunt. But they think it's a safety problem. I would say it's up to Fish and Game to look at it and decide if it's a safety problem. And if not, don't take any action. But I just want you to know that there are people around Alaska who are trying to infringe on your ability to harvest the game. We came to Alaska to live in a place where we could live off the land. Living off the land means that you shoot the meat that your family eats and you catch the fish that your family eats. You pick the berries that your family eats and anything else that you can get from nature, you harvest and you share that with your family, your neighbors, and your friends. And I love Alaska for that reason. I raised five children right here in Fairbanks. I moved to Fairbanks from Tok in 1961 and started Shot a Moose that fall. And ever since then, I never bought meat or fish in the market. We always ate the wild game birds and meat. We always had moose and caribou. Back in the 60s, the bag limit was four caribou, and there were lots of caribou up on the Steese. It was not a problem to drive up the Steese Highway and shoot a caribou or two and butcher it and bring it back to town. That was a nice one-day hunt, and many people in Fairbanks did that for many, many years. And we could eat a moose and four caribou with a family of seven people feeding on it. It wasn't hard to do. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed living off the land, that's what I call it, and I think it's a wonderful thing to do. It makes me feel a little more independent. I don't have to go to the market and buy the meat. I can go out into the woods and harvest the meat. Last week I mentioned a little item called a squeegee, and I want to talk just a little bit more about a squeegee. I think it's a wonderful little item that Remington has put out. It's under the Remington label. It's squeegee. And I want to spell that for you. It's S-Q-U-E-E-G-E. Squeegee. Pronounced squeegee. And it looks like a little red caterpillar. Not really, but that's your first thought when you look at it. A little red caterpillar with a silver nose. Well, that silver nose is where you screw it onto an attached tool. And this squeegee is for pulling through the barrel of your gun to clean the barrel of your gun. The inside of the barrel has to be wet with solvent. So you scrub it with solvent. And then after it's all scrubbed with solvent and you've got all the dirt loosened up, then you just pull this squeegee through the barrel and it cleans just like a squeegee would clean a window. You put your soapy water on the window and get all the dirt loosened up, and then you use a squeegee to dry the water off the window, and the window is clean. Well, now they're doing the same thing to the inside of the barrel of your gun, inside the bore. But in order to drag this through your gun, depending on what gun you have, you need a tool. And it comes in a kit. I checked over at Frontier Outfitters. They sell the squeegees of any caliber you want, but they don't sell the kit that has the tool. The tool is like, as I see it, a cable that will attach to the squeegee and has a handle on the other end. So you can slide this cable through your barrel and then put the handle on it and then put the squeegee on the other end, and then with the handle you pull. And you pull that squeegee right on through the barrel, and it comes out clean. The barrel is clean after the squeegee goes through. And then you just wipe the squeegee off with your dirty, oily rag that's there on your cleaning table, and you're ready to put the squeegee through another barrel. And you buy the squeegee for whatever caliber you want to clean. But as far as the tool, the cable, and the handle, you would only need one of those because you just changed the caliber when you go to clean a different gun. And you can clean rifles handguns, either one, with your squeegee. Remington has put that out in a package with the tool, the handle, and several different squeegees. Or you can just buy one squeegee at a time. And that's what I have right now. I have a squeegee that fits the .357 caliber, the .38 caliber, the 9mm, and the .380 caliber. All those are the same diameter bullet, so they all take the same diameter squeegee. I think it's a good item, and I would recommend it for cleaning. I haven't really given it a fair try yet, but I really like the philosophy. We've been cleaning windows that way for quite some time, so why not clean the inside of your barrel that way? Why not? I'll give it a try, and maybe after I get a hold of a cable and a handle, I'll run it through some of my guns, and I'll get back to you with a further report. So we talked about the hunting band. We talked about the squeegee. And I did mention a good friend of mine named Ron, who gave me a tip on the magazine, which has the article about air rifles, big game air rifles. And I appreciate that. And I also mentioned that Ron gave me, out of the goodness of his heart, a sizable donation to the scholarship fund at the university. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't mention a few others who very recently have given donations to that scholarship fund. One is a good friend of mine named Larry Boyle and his wife, Alex. They live in Anchorage. They used to live in Fairbanks, and Larry used to help me teach, and he's a very good instructor. They sent me a check. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for being on the show. Does Fish and Game, do you know if Fish and Game for the draw permit hunt, they allow non-residents to put in for these draw permit hunts? Do all the names go in a hat, or do they take a certain percentage of the award and separate them out and separate the non-resident from the resident for some of the particular hunts? Do you know anything about that?
No, not really, but it's always been my impression that hunters outside of Alaska and hunters from Alaska, residents, are treated differently in those drawing hunts so that the outside hunters can't overwhelm the interior hunters. I don't know any more detail than that, but I'd be happy to look into it and get back to you on it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. Let's see. And where was I with just maybe a minute to go? I was talking about, donations. There were a couple of other donations besides Larry's, but let me take another phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Are you closing up?
Yes.
Well, there are some hunts that are specific to non-resident drawings, and then other hunts they're in combination with the Alaskan residents.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you calling in with that information. Have a great new year. Well, I did also want to mention the Optimist Club, which made a large donation this year, and they do that annually. And also the Interior Alaska Airboaters Association made a sizable donation, and they have done that in the past also. I thank those people. I thank anyone who donates to that scholarship fund. And it's time to close up now. I hear the music coming up. So I want to say always keep your gun pointed in a safe direction. If you do that, you will never hurt anybody with your gun. Remember, be safe with your gun. Thank you. I'll be here next week.
Back and forward in the saddle on a horse.
News and conversation. KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks. K248DK 97.5 FM Fairbanks.